Today's Mishnah in Masechet Mikvaot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Yud, and we're up to Mishnah Beit. So what we started discussing here was a question in our first Mishnah, was how do we make certain that every last part of a kli came into contact with the Mei Mikvah at the same time, that it was all at one time in the mikvah. So we talked about handles that were stuck in and perhaps were meant to be taken out, or water that gets trapped in a type of container if you put it into the mikvah, or if something was put in upside down and there was an air bubble, and so on. Now, today, we continue on the same idea, but we have to think about situations that are similar to a handle that is stuck into a kli, where it was properly stuck into a kli, and it isn't meant to be pulled apart. So in that case, it was clear to us in that first Mishnah that that is the kli. The kli is the knife blade with the handle that is covering over the part of the blade that it's holding. That's considered to be the kli as is. And therefore, you don't have to pull a kli apart. Now, how about in a case where you've got a car or a keset? So now you make this beautiful cushion for your couch. The cushion is a leather cushion, so it's considered to be a kli. It's, of course, if it was just a beged, we saw before, a beged that's put into a mikvah, the water is considered to be freely flowing throughout the beged. But if you're talking about a cushion made out of leather, that is waterproof. And therefore, you're going to have to make sure that the inside of the cushion also had water in it, even though it's filled with the stuffing or the feathers, whatever it was, that you put into it. Hare elo tzrichin sheyavo behem mayim. We don't consider them to be a closed, permanent kli that just consists of the surface, because people actually do cleaning on those kind of things, on mattresses, or they replace the stuffing sometimes with fresh feathers or with more modern, you know, polypropylene kind of stuffing. And therefore, it's meant to be open. There's a reason there's a zipper on that kli, and you've got to take all of the stuff out and be tevel it. Now, how about a keset agula? Okay, we're sometimes, they still do this today, where you see they make this a crafts kind of small pillows, the round pillows that were embroidered, the whole surface is embroidered. The thing is sewed up all around, does not have a zipper, not meant to be opened. Or how about a softball? You're making a softball with leather. You fill the inside of the ball with all of the stuffing. Huh? We're talking about, how do you like that? The special case of keset agula. Rabbi Barnea has a sort of warped keset agula because it looks very much like a square. But, all right, they always said Rabbi Barnea was a little bit square. And so that's a good example of your keset agula.
But, I just discovered that.
Yes, exactly. I was going to mention it.
Another one in the other room from
Rome. Okay, great. Anyway, so if you are a very frum ball player, and now you only play with a ball that is tohar, after all, you wouldn't want the tuma on the ball messing up your home run for nothing. And even though you had a big shaila about if you hit it with a bat, there's a chayak for the tuma to go through the bat, is that considered to be pshute kli'eitz? It's a whole big issue, but as we know, any possible chumrah is a chumrah. So now the latest chumrah would be open up the ball, take out the stuffing, put it into the mikvah, and recreate the ball. No, you do not have to do that. All you need to do is put your ball into the mikvah. Now, how about an imum? So an imum is essentially the same idea. That is the type of, I forgot what they call it. Is it called a last, maybe? It's the type of thing that you make a shoe around. And it is called a last, Barnea? All right, so it's made very often to be a little soft so that it's the equivalent of a foot, right? So you make like a type of foot that is stuffed. It's never opened up, and you form the shoe around this imun. Or if you have a kamiya, so a kamiya is also, it's sewed shut. You put inside whatever magical incantation, or you put the various types of herbs that are supposedly going to cure this, or whatever. Or how about a tefillah? How about your tefillah shel rosh, or your tefillah shel yad? That is completely closed. It's sewed shut. It's not meant to be opened normally. And if that becomes tamei as a beged, so then you want to put it into the mikveh, so the bias can become tamei, you don't have to open it up. Einan tzrichin shiavo behemayim, because they're not, you say, but I mean, once every 7 years, maybe, that's not considered to be made to be opened. That is considered to be checked by maybe tearing the whole thing apart. So lemaisa, they bring a raya from this Gemara, from this Mishnah, that no, Adarabba. It means that tefillin are not meant to be taken apart. And therefore, the pashtus is that as long as you're using tefillin, and that's really how we paskin Yikar HaDin, is that as long as the tefillin are being used consistently so that they're not going to just degenerate, and you don't have to check them unless there's a particular reisa. You know, I mean, if something happened to them, fine. But like this, you don't have to. That's true. Mi Ikar HaDin. Okay. And nonetheless, there's an inyan, remember, to check your tefillin just because it's so possible that in the very use of the tefillin, you know, your hair maybe was wet once, or you're sweating or something like that. So we do check our tefillin. But Mi Ikar HaDin, many bring a riot from this Mishnah, which is the way that Shulchan Aruch paskens, is that you don't need to. Zaklo. Kol she'in darko lahachnisu lahotzi tovlin stumim. So you can see why not everybody agrees that you can bring a raya from here, because it's certainly not the darko lahachnisu lahotzi, the parshias from the tefillin. The fact that you can do this once every 7 years, that's not the same thing. Okay. It's a question of how to understand the Mishnah. Tovlin stumim. You could put them into the mikveh, completely shut. You don't have to get the water inside. Perek Yud Mishnah Gimel. Now, how about where the kli consists of something that's knotted? How about the knots? A knot is something when it's tied tight, it's not going to let water in. And then the question is it something that, let's say it's your tefillin knot, which nowadays are made in ways that the knot remains and you just slide the ritzua. So what's the din? Do you have to undo it in order to let the water through or not? So elu she'enam tzrichim she'yavo behemayim. Here are knots, which even though they're tied tight and the water cannot get in, it's still not b'chayav of you to undo them. So kishrei ha'ani, somebody who doesn't have the money to actually bring something into the tailor and to make it fit his size. What happens is that, you know, he finds some begodim in the discarded begodim box, and he takes it. It doesn't fit him. So he ties a knot in the material to make it shorter, let's say. So now it will fit him. Those are not meant to be untied. That's the way that essentially he sews it together. How about nimim? Now, nimim are essentially those very pretty fringes you find on tablecloths or at the edge of a talit, right? So it's a fringe thing, or on a carpet. The fringes, nobody unties the knots of fringes. So even though when you put it into the mikveh, the water's not going to be able to get in, it doesn't matter, because that is the kli. The fringe is the kli. How about the chevet shel sandal? You've got the knot in the middle of the thongs. It's not something that you tie the sandal with. You slide the thongs through that knot. Or how about your tefillah shel rosh? The tefillah shel rosh bizman shehi chotza. You have a tight tefillah shel rosh that is permanent. Or if you have a tefillah shel yad, shel zroa, bizman she'ena olav yoredet, you've got the type of knot in your tefillah, shel yad, not the kind that we have where you can actually, you can move it in such a way to fix you, but it's actually a permanent knot, and there it's not going to be loosened. Or what about a case of the oznei chema? The chemet is the wine skin or the water skin, and the way that you tie it shut, obviously, is by putting a knot on the top. But you also have the knots that are the way that you carry it, which is the same as the oznei hatarmil. You've got a backpack. So in your backpack, obviously today we sew it, but in the backpack, there's always that first small knot, which is tied. And in that knot, you have the ritzuot to the backpack that's open and close and slide. But the knot on the actual backpack, today we sew it, but if it's a knot, is permanent. And that is part of the backpack itself. So the oznei hatarmul, as the oznei hachemet, even though there are other straps that you do have to take out, same thing for the wineskin, but you don't take out the basic straps that keep the whole thing in shape. Shall we continue? Shmuel Chanina?
Rebbe's discretion.
Now, wait a minute. You're putting me in an impossible situation. I rely on you, and that's the way we've been keeping this going properly. Tell me. There we go. Today's Mishnah. Next Mishnah. Perek Yud Mishnah Dalid in Mikvaot. Elu Sheim Tzachim Shiavo Ben Mai. So the last Mishnah that we learned were the types of knots that we don't need you to undo. Here we're talking about the type of knots that you're going to have to make sure that water gets into them. So Hakesher Shebabar Kirkasim Shebakatef. Now, nowadays we've got these undershirts that are permanently sewed, sleeveless undershirts. In those days, the sleeveless undershirt had the pieces of the sleeve, not that you have to lift up your hand and put it through the shirt. You have put the shirt on and then you tie the two sides so that they are meant to be tied and untied. Or you've got maybe a choshev sheet. And the sheets that are choshev, the begonim that are choshev, they would pleat them to look pretty. And then when they would wash them, they would actually take out the pleats by loosening the knots, letting the water get into everything. It's sort of like the pajamas that they have nowadays, where you've got the string going through the pajama, and then you tie the pajama on, depending on how much cholent you had on Shabbos. So since that varies depending on the cholent, so you actually, to wash those pajamas, you loosen it in order to let the water get in. So if you're taking it to the mikveh, you'd have to loosen it. Tefillah shel rosh bezman she'in hachotza. If you've got a tefillin shel rosh that is not meant to be permanent, so then it's a chatzitza. Unless it's a mamish so loose that the water can get in. But we're talking about like the norm when it's tied, but it's not tied tight and it's not tied so loose. So therefore it is meant to be loosened. It is meant to be moved. So you have to loosen it. Or shel zro bezman shi olevi yoreda. Or your tefillin shel yad, where it's not tight enough. Or schnutz and shell sandal. How about the straps of the sandal? Those knots on the side, not the central knot that you put the straps through. Since those aren't knots that are meant to stay there all the time, therefore, when you put it into a mikveh, you're going to have to loosen it unless they're very, very loosened. Now we've got another problem. The other problem is air bubbles. So what happens if we're talking about material, and the material is put into the mikveh, and it traps, the water traps air. So now, if there's air trapped in there, there's not a complete tefillah, right? So if you took clothes out of the washing machine, and you won't put them into the mikveh directly, there's no, the idea over there is There's no hidden bubbles there. That thing has been through the ring cycle. And if once there's put it into the mikveh, there's no more bubbling. That the original bubbling that you put it in when you threw it into the mikveh, that was just the air that got trapped by your throwing it into the mikveh. The moment that those bubbles go out, we know that the entire thing has been in the mikveh. So there, if you took it out of the washing machine, the gadim sheet bilan mechubasim, you only need for the bubbles to bubble as you throw them in. Then there's nothing else you need to worry about. Sh'ad sheba'abu'u. Why? Because the moment that it bubbles, the water that's in the begadim becomes part of hashaka, because there was nothing to prevent that water from being attached to the main mikveh, and therefore the main mikveh has fully penetrated as the original washing machine water. We don't need to get rid of that water. But suppose you put clothing into a mikveh when they're dry. You've got to keep it down under the mikveh water until they die and there's no more bubbles. And now you know they're no longer breathing. So at that point, you've got the water that has gone through the entire beged from the mikveh, and there hasn't been any bubble to prevent the mikveh water from touching the entire fabric. Lovely. We're back in action, baby. This is terrific. Okay, and guess what I thought of? I think you'll agree that when we finish mikvaot, what we should do is move on to idiot, because we're finishing, basically we're getting up to idiot, and the Daf Yomi doesn't allow us to take off time for idiot. So therefore, at the same time that we'll be doing Avodah Zarah, we could actually be doing idiot, and then we will have actually, when we finish the Urias, we'll actually have done the whole thing for a change. Wow. Okay, so if you're agreed, so then make sure you get yourselves idios Mishnah for the future. Okay, Rabosai, it's been a lovely day seeing such wonderful people. Thank you so much. And Be'ezras Hashem, Alavai, we should be Zocha to learn tomorrow. See you then.